new music there from our guest today here on Jazz New England, a recently formed band spawned out of NEC. Rochambeau is the band. We heard a couple of tunes from that self-titled recording, Slave to the Cube and Bear Blade before that. We're at 2:11. Great to have you with us here on this Monday edition of Jazz New England, only at 90.5 WICN. We're Jazz Plus for New England, and we say hello to Rochambeau. Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Good to see you. Introduce yourselves, if you would, please.
I'm Jacob. I play drums. All Jacob, right. Cole.
I'm Luke Marantz. I play keyboard.
And I'm Oliver Watkinson, and I play the bass.
All right. And one member missing.
Yep, that's Zach Shaman.
Okay.
Who you heard on the saxophone.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it tonight.
All right.
He also wrote the first two tunes.
All right. So you guys, you all met at NEC, and that's how things got going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who met who first?
Well, actually, it was a saxophone player that put together just like a jam session for us to play at school one day. And I remember it was kind of funny because Oliver was fairly tired, and I could tell he wasn't all super excited. He was like, you know, I'm only going to be here for an hour or something like that. And right from the very first note, it was just super easy. It was so much fun. We ended up staying there for like 2.5 hours or something like that. And we all recorded the session. And I remember, you know, seeing Zach and all the guys the next day, and we were all super excited about it. And
so
it
just improvising, you guys, the whole
night?
Yeah,
improvising and playing standards and all kinds of different stuff. And then through that, we all... There was never a moment where we were like, okay, let's be a band. It was really cool. It happened very organically. We just started just playing a whole lot more. People started bringing in new music. Eventually, I started bringing a keyboard, and, you know, Zach had all these different electronics and effects stuff he was working on. And, yeah, and it just sort of, I think right from the beginning, just we all had so much in common with the fact that, you know, all these guys are great listeners. And also that we all liked rock music, and a lot of the music that we were sort of writing was kind of similar, and so you know, just kind of
interesting.
Organically morphed into what it is now.
Does that happen a lot at NEC? Bands form, guys get together, and then sort of
absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You kind of expected that from the start.
It's a really a close knit community because it's such a small school. So I mean, you know everybody in the program, and so that's also I think an important thing with this band is we all knew each other, and we you know, have a strong relationship as friends
as
well as colleagues, musicians.
Well, how long has the band been together then?
I guess about 2.5 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, two and a half years. I guess it was fall.
Time flies, huh?
Yeah.
2009,
Man, oh man. So you said you guys, we were talking, jazz, funk, or rock, you got a little bit of all those elements. Mm. So you guys are studying jazz at NEC, or are you on that program? Or?
Yep, we're all jazz performance majors.
And
yeah, like Luke was saying, I mean, we all have you know, strong upbringing in rock music too. Like, I know we all have a lot of similar bands like Bjork or Weezer, you know, just bands that we all listen to as just as much as any like jazz musician that we've been checking out. So, you know, both styles really, you know, help each other when we're writing our songs, and then also in like a live setting, because we can, you know, sort of go off in improvisation for a little bit and not have to completely, you know, adhere to the form of the song that we like talked about ahead of time.
Well, at your shows, are the listeners fans of all three kinds of music and more, or are they expecting?
I mean, we don't really expect them to be familiar with anything particularly. I mean, it's like, you know, I sort of feel like there's something for everybody, I guess, you know. We sort of look like a jazz quartet, you know, because there's saxophone,
instrumentation,
bass, drums, keys, but yeah, I think the sax sort of fulfills the role of lead singer and sort of guitar. Like if we were, you know, using like a rock band analogy, guess it would, that would be the saxophone. But we sort of, I think we have something to offer everybody. I just want, you know, people to feel something about it, whether it's, you know, extreme hatred or love, you know, it's all
just feel something.
Good. I want to, some sort of affectation.
Does everybody compose in the band? You guys are,
Yep.
Well, that's kind of, that always, I think, makes it interesting. Then you got like four sources to draw from as opposed to
definitely.
One or
two. It's absolutely a collective. It's nobody's one thing. And I think that's one of the coolest part. I mean, this whole idea of like jazz, rock, or funk.
Is that still an applicable term, jazz rock?
You know, cause I mean,
back in the 70s, we heard that.
Totally.
Those of us who were around.
Yeah, it sort
70s.
Of conjures up a like a weather report.
Yes.
Sort of an.
So it's, it means something different now.
Image. Yeah. Yeah. I think it does. There's like, it seems, it's like a sort of a trend, I guess, in jazz now, because there's so many people, I guess the new generation, that's coming up now. I grew up listening to Nirvana and Sonic Youth and Radiohead and stuff like that. And I guess maybe how we arrived at this, I didn't feel that we needed to separate those influences. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just, we didn't consciously choose a direction. We just sort of, we're just doing it now. And then, you know, figure out what to call it later.
Yeah. Well, you know, jazz and rock, do those two come together? I mean, these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's happening a lot more. Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, the music has gotten so free in general. You know, you have like people like Robert Glasper that are doing like total, you know, like R&B, neo-soul, whatever, jazz. And then you have, you know, all these other bands that are sort of doing rock, jazz. And, you know, I mean, it's like all across the board. There's there's all kinds of really exciting things happening. But I think, I don't know, it's just an interesting kind of paradigm, because in the band, like, I think Oliver and Jacob in particular, like, grew up really listening to rock music. And then Zach and I, like, I come from my parents actually met at NEC, and my dad's like jazz teacher. So I grew up listening to jazz, and I really came into listening to rock music, like, not until I was like late middle school, high school, really. And so it was when I came to NEC that I was kind of like most amped on this music. And I think it's really interesting what Jacob said, because, you know, like most of the musicians our age really didn't grow up listening to jazz, and coming from like a perspective of bands like Radiohead or groups like that, that are doing, you know, they're playing music in odd time signatures and have stuff with like lots of really interesting harmonic things going on. You know, I think it's sort of actually lends itself to jazz, I think, more so than a lot of bands that maybe people were listening to in the 70s. You know, so I think it happens a lot, and I think it happens a lot for a reason.
We're having conversation with, we'll enjoy the music of Rochambeau, again, their new CD, self-titled. You guys got a show coming up this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yep, weekend, the 11th. Also my birthday, for those
happy birthday ahead of time.
It's going to be the first anniversary of my 21st birthday.
All right.
And it'll be at the Outpost in Cambridge.
What time you get underway?
It'll start at 8:30.
Okay. You know, so a guy comes to jazz from a rock background. Do you bring something special that you can apply to that music that maybe somebody else couldn't? Somebody that grew up with jazz, do you have a fresher look at it, or another perspective?
I think perhaps it always helps just to listen to multiple styles of music. Just, you know, have as many styles to work from as possible. In particular with rock, I think it helps because there's a certain level, I'm very generally speaking here, but there's a certain level of sensitivity that comes to a lot of jazz now, where there's this idea of, I don't even know how to word this really, but like you want it to be, you're worried too much about the sound that you're getting across. And then there's a certain level of rock, like me growing up listening to a lot of, you know, Nirvana and like some punk bands, you know, like your Minor Threat or Black Flag, they, you know, there's a certain level of not caring, being able to just, you know, like hit a drum as hard as possible, or, you know, play a guitar as loud as possible. And you sort of throw away some of the, like, you know, any sort of worries that you have about the actual like sound that you're getting across.
Interesting.
So I just think that helps in our band, in a sense that we can sort of cast off that worrying of having this like polished, perfect sound going on, and it really just allows us to explore more, you know, our sonic options.
Yeah, I mean, jazz, the title jazz has sort of become this like institutionalized thing that you know, I'm not even totally comfortable calling what we do jazz, just because we don't really fall under the, you know, set criteria that are kind of in place now for what's called jazz.
That's a whole other discussion about the categories and everything.
Yeah, yeah. That road right now.
Well, I just wondered, you know, we always hear about the jazz police. People will come and say, people that they're only purists. If there's any kind of other music in jazz besides jazz, then they have a problem with that. So
Leave our shows running.
I mean, that's one thing I'm actually really excited about. I'm thinking a lot about this recently. You know, I mean, all my heroes, whether it's Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, you know, people said that, you know, Bird played too many notes and Coltrane played too loud. And, you know, I mean, I remember talking to a teacher of mine. He went to see Coltrane in like the 70s, you know, with the famous quartet, and he said it was at some big festival, you know, where there were a lot of people, and Coltrane's band was, I think, the last band on. He said as soon as they started playing, people just couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I think that's one thing we've been trying to find the right place for us, because we're a little bit too loud sometimes for, you know, a jazz club. And, you know, I think our music is sort of moving more in a direction that might fit better in a rock club. But also, I mean, we have a saxophone player, so it's not exactly an easy sell.
Yeah.
So we've been doing a lot of, like, you know, basement shows and playing for, like, kids our age. And, you know, I think it's something that I think I actually really look for is something that, you know, I don't think that there's really somebody who's doing exactly what we're doing. And I think that in that, the fact that it's not super accepted right away, I think is a good sign, you know? So, I don't know. I'm happy about that.
We again are speaking with Rochambeau, the new recording, I should say. Is it kind of new? You've been together a couple of years, so this is a fairly self-titled. What do you like to hear next? Band's choice.
Yoga?
Yeah, let's put on Yoga. This is a Bjork cover.
Tell us about this.
Well, it's what Bjork album is it from?
I guess I could talk about this.
It's Homogenic.
Homogenic. It's it's an arrangement I did of this Bjork tune. And yeah, we brought it in as a chart, pretty much straightforward, just, you know, our version, our instrumentation adaptation of this song, and then we sort of played with it a bit, added in some new parts, and, you know, added, you know, solo sections and whatnot.
Oh, and Zach plays alto on this.
All right.
Yeah, which is
Yeah,
doesn't happen that often.
All right, let's have a listen. Here's Rochambeau on Jazz New England. Thank you for joining us here on Jazz New England. This is 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England. We're enjoying the music of Conversation with Rochambeau and their self-titled recording. Just heard a couple of tracks, Dream You Later and Yoga. It's by Bjork. And again, we have in the studios Luke, Oliver, and Jacob from Rochambeau. We're going to be hearing, I think, from Zach's going to phone in here in just a minute. Guys, you got two shows. Sunday, you'll be March 11th at the Outpost in Cambridge, getting underway at 8 o'clock. Thursday, March 15th, All Asia on Mass Avenue in Cambridge. That's at 9 o'clock. Both CD release shows, kind of.
Yep.
Those are kind of fun, huh? You excited about the CD release?
Absolutely.
What makes it different from other gigs?
Ooh, man. Well, I think kind of what we were talking about earlier, actually, just this whole jazz, rock, funk idea. We're going to be playing a lot of the music off this record. And I think the interesting thing about this record is that it's really kind of a snapshot of our first 2 years together as a band. So there's stuff that's, I think, very jazz influenced and stuff that's very rock influenced and kind of all across the board. And now I think we're kind of moving in sort of more almost a completely rock direction. You know, we're all like singing now, and there's less, I guess there's less solos, but there's not less improvisation. I mean, a lot of the improvisation that happens is with forms, you know, because we're playing really songs the whole time. And so we kind of, they change every night. But I'm really excited about these release shows because we're going to be revisiting all the music on the record and a lot of music that we haven't played for a while. We're actually rearranging a lot of the stuff that's on the record. And a lot of stuff that, you know, when we recorded the record, we did, you know, 2 12-hour days in a studio. Wow. And we had a ton of time. I mean, we were, you know, playing Rock Band when people were doing overdubs and stuff. It was a great hang. But we got more music than we could have ever used on a record. So
not a bad thing, though. Huh?
Absolutely not. No, I mean, you know, stuff that will hopefully get released over a period of time as well. But the I'm excited about these release shows because we're, I mean, Zach and myself and all of us have been bringing in new arrangements of songs that we haven't played in, you know, years. Wow. Literally. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
We got him on the line. We're not even going to say hello. We're just going to, is that you, Zach?
That's me.
How you doing?
Yeah, Zach.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm at work.
Zach's joining us at work, but we got your bandmates here. We're talking about the music, and we've been discussing all kind of stuff. We talk about the rock jazz thing, and we talked about the Jazz Police and how they are accepting the music. So let me hear your two cents on jazz rock and this whole band thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been listening to the broadcast the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Super stoked. you know, about the whole jazz rock thing, I mean, music in general is constantly changing and evolving. I mean, obviously, there's nowhere to go but forward. And so I'm just trying to, when I write a new song, I'm trying to sort of bring two worlds, I guess, closer together, so that I'm just trying to bring two different ideas closer together, so it's not such a giant leap for uninitiated listeners. I mean, especially you have to be really sophisticated to listen to jazz. I mean, that's sure. a fact. So it's nice when I can get a reaction out of somebody who doesn't really like jazz, especially. I don't know if that really helps.
Well, let's go the other way. How do the rockers in the audience, how do they relate to the jazz portion of the program?
Well, you know, I sort of try and write songs for them. You know, I write songs for people who don't really have any sophisticated jazz listening skills. I try and write songs for them so that when they listen to it, they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not and only a few times have people actually come up to me and said, yeah. But
I mean, I think we get a pretty consistently good reaction from people not familiar with jazz. I mean, that's at least my view on it from what I've seen.
Well, sometimes that's the way to introduce people to jazz. You give them a bit of music they know about. I mean, nobody listens. I think any jazz listener didn't start listening to Charlie Parker off the bat.
Exactly.
You slowly get there. So.
We're like the gateway drug.
Yeah. Rochambeau, the gateway drug to jazz. Here. We're enjoying. This is Jazz New England here at 90.5 WIC. Again, our guests, Rochambeau. You can see them on Thursday. I'm sorry, Sunday, March 11th at the Outpost, 8 o'clock. They're playing Thursday, March 15th, All Asia on Mass Avenue in Cambridge. That's a 9 o'clock start. Guys, what's the most difficult part about getting your name out there and letting people know what you're doing and getting people all buzzed about this music?
Well, in Boston, there's so many great musicians and people trying to get projects off the ground. It's a real city, especially of music students, you know, people our age, everybody's trying to hustle to get their thing off the ground. So there's really, I feel in Boston, there's like a large focus on like me and myself, what I'm trying to do. So it's hard to help one another out. But I think we're trying to do that. We're trying to connect with other bands and do double bills and stuff like that. And just, you know, collaborate with people and, you know, different musicians, artists, whatever, just trying to really form a community, I guess, in Boston that's sort of, I don't want to say non-existent, but at least it's a little weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially what Jacob was saying about Boston being a city made up mostly of students, I think a lot of people view this place as kind of a transitory place, you know, that they come to Boston to go to school or whatever and then go somewhere else. But I think we're really trying to change that. I mean, I believe in this city. I think it's, there's so many exciting things happening. There's a lot of new venues popping up. And, I mean, that's a big focus for our band. I mean, every show that we do has at least one or two other bands on it.
How do you guys think going to NEC has it affected your music? Say, had you gone to Berkeley and met there, what's NEC, do you think, done for the music, if anything?
I think NEC has helped the most just in the sense that there are less people there and we had an easier time finding each other and working together and, you know, making this music with each other. And just, you know, like for me personally, going to NEC, like one of the best parts was they support creating your own sound and exploring your own ideas rather than trying to fit it into an already preconceived idea of what your music should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not knocking Berkeley at all. I have a lot of really close friends that go there.
You're right. It's huge, though. It's a huge school.
Yeah, just, you know, from the sheer number of students, it's really hard for everyone to create their own style of music and, you know, find out, you know, discover what they want to do musically for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. We should thank NEC because in a large part they helped make our album by giving us the Honors Ensemble title award or whatever last year.
And that enables you to record?
Or? Well, yeah. Well, it came with money, so yeah. there was money involved.
So thank you, NEC.
thank you, NEC. Hey, Zach, you're there. You know, we heard you play tenor and play the alto. Do the audience react differently to the different horns? Do they even know?
Well, I try to keep it simple on stage. I rarely leave the house with more than a tenor because there's so much other gear going on, a lot of electronics. But, you know, not to give too much away, but I'm starting to play more guitar with the band, which is something I'm really excited about because I'm a terrible guitar player.
Is that true, guys?
Terrible in the best way.
Yeah. Sort of the David Lynch sense.
It's endearing.
Okay. Yeah.
So that'll be the way to go, huh? More guitar in the future, less saxophone.
Yeah, sort of the Albert Eiler of guitar.
Okay.
I mean, that's one thing that we actually haven't talked about too much. One thing that I think is extremely cool about this band is that when we were in the recording studio for such a long period of time, I think we actually figured out a lot of stuff about what we were actually trying to do as a band. Because we had a lot of access. I mean, we recorded in a rock studio, so we had a lot of access to gear that we never would have otherwise. And
Were the engineers? How did they?
Oh man, we had the best engineer.
You're kind of doing jazz in a rock studio.
Totally.
So, but they were all for it
because I mean we were, you know, affecting things and changing things constantly. You know, and we had a guy named Joe Tooley who was an extremely creative engineer, and I think. You know, without him, this would have been a really hard project to bring to life. But I think one thing that's extremely cool is that all the stuff that happens on the record, where there's times where you hear multiple saxophones happening, like loops, all kinds of crazy stuff, all of that happens live. Zach has a big guitar pedal board, and he's got a little mic that is hooked up to his reed, and he sends that through a guitar amp and can do all of those effects live. And so all the stuff that you're hearing on the record happens at shows. And it's an extremely cool thing to see. I mean, you don't see anybody really doing that.
So there's sounds like a good visual element to the performance. Yeah.
Somebody once told me it was distracting, but I think it's endearing.
I was going to ask you if you did the Eddie Harris thing and electrified your sax, but you got a mic on the reed then, huh?
Yeah, it's more of a pickup actually, because it picks up the sonic vibrations, not so much the actual note.
Okay.
From the bell of the saxophone.
Sure. Again. Rochambeau, our guest today. We have in the studio Luke Oliver. Jacob Zach is joining us on the phone in Cambridge. And again, the new CD, it's called Rochambeau. What do you want to hear next, guys?
We play Teos Drive.
Okay.
Yeah, let's play that.
Tell us about this.
This is a song that I wrote. It's actually the street that I grew up in in Texas. And I think it's one of the more just like sort of straight rocking tunes on the record. And it's one that we still like to play.